Hey, welcome to this episode of Why Not You. This is your host, D. Wells, and I'm so excited that you're here today. I have the opportunity to speak with Mr. Val Topolu, a husband, father, pastor, musician, and occasional hooper. And he's getting his podcast on. He's preaching the gospel through word and music while creating a community just to talk about real life issues in a theological way. You know, many times people feel like they're the only ones going through a crisis, so they isolate themselves from others. In this episode, Val's going to share his struggle with pornography and depression and how important it was for him just to rely on others through accountability and community and having a thriving environment. Being able to be transparent in a safe place just allowed him to share and have those breakthroughs. So join me in this episode of Why Not You with my guest, Val. Come on, let's go.
That's awesome, bro. Yeah. Man, hey, I'm encouraged that you're growing, bro. Like, I love being around people that are hungry to grow. Yeah. They're not stale. Like, seriously, awesome, bro.
Yeah. So we got to keep at it, right?
Right. That's right.
Especially when you think about everything that's going on in the world now, man, there's so many thirsty, hungry people out there who need us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Who need us. They might not know they need us until we drop that content on them, right?
Hey.
But when they hear it, they be like, okay, this dude is adding value. He has some knowledge, some information that can actually help me elevate. So that's what it's all about. Yeah.
Man, and just along in that same vein, Derek, like, I recently started my podcast a couple weeks ago, and just I was talking about my porn struggle, like how second year into my marriage, I thought, number one, my marriage was going to fail, and then I was just going to quit ministry because I struggled with porn for like a good 6 years. And I'm like, okay, when I get married, it's going to change. And then second year into my marriage, I went back into pornography. And I remember like asking myself, man, am I going to make it as a pastor?
Yeah.
Because I felt alone, like real talk. I felt alone. And just sharing that on my podcast, and then like, I'm amazed at how people are so responsive and they don't have a place to struggle, bro.
Right.
That's what it is. They don't have a place to struggle. And if there's anything I can encourage, like, when I spoke on the power of community, I said, you need to have a place to struggle. When I was pastoring, I was associate pastor, preaching 4 times a month. You know, you come to church and you're like, people are like, good sermon. Oh, you doing that? You get this high where people are like, man, you're awesome. But when I go in private, I'm losing. And I'm like, man, everybody's looking up to me. They're trying to get answers for me. I'm like, so what saved my marriage, bro, like in the same vein that you're talking about, like, was community. Yeah. Having a place to struggle. Because for the longest time, I didn't have a place to struggle. So I felt like I was fighting alone in isolation. And man, that's why I like having community and being vulnerable, being transparent, is such a key piece. Like, if we want to finish our race well.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And like, my wife still gets my reports every Friday. I still have accountability from men, but it's not just my wife. It's men too. Like, my wife's not enough. I need men that can call me out on my stuff, you know? And I'm telling you, because I know it takes a lot of work to just keep the mask on. Right. It's a lot of work to be fake. It is a lot of work to be fake. So we have to take the mask off. And here's the thing, like, some people, all they know is the mask. So they can't take it off.
They can't.
You see what I'm saying? So yeah, man, like when you said dropping content and adding value to people, I was just amazed at the response that I got. And it's not just people in their 20s, 30s, 60s, bro. Like, people reaching out saying, and I'm like, man, if only they reached out earlier, to whether that's to their support group, their small group, because a lot of people are fighting in isolation.
They are. And ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about community like community out on the streets. We're talking about community like as an environment that provides a safe place for people to actually get together and communicate and be with be with people who are there for them, and that just gives them permission to speak freely.
That's right.
Yep. So, man, something. Oh, by the way, man, we just got it kicked off, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, this is your host, D. Wells. Why not you? And I got my man back from Tennessee on.
Let's go.
we talk about community.
That's right.
Community. So, man, so God has put something on your heart, man, to make you actually, start this movement and create a place for people to actually share and just to be open.
Mm-hmm.
What actually transpired and what led to this?
Yeah, so for me, bro, when I stepped into ministry, you know how it is when you preach, all eyes are on you and people feel like, man, this dude has the answers. And what I learned, number one, was that the pulpit for me was an idol. Real talk, like it was an idol. Like I got a high every time I preached because I loved the affirmation that I got from people, especially if you got daddy wounds.
Uh-huh.
And you didn't get affirmation. And then you're preaching a sermon, people are like, hey, man, good word, it blessed me. And then you're like, okay, I'm something, you know? And then pride starts to kick in, right? And then I fell into a deep, deep depression. And like, in my family, we didn't really talk about depression. We just kind of put the mask on, you know, we went to church. I personally didn't have a safe place to struggle. And I remember when I was depressed for a couple of months, like I didn't want to get out of bed, didn't want to hoop. By the way, I still got a nice jump shot, just so you know.
Yeah.
Just in case you forgot, bro. So what led, honestly, to understanding the power of community was a good friend of mine who started taking me out to breakfast as I battled depression. And man, I tell you, like, I connected to a men's group, and just to have that place where I could process and share what I was going through, I actually found that I wasn't the only one going through it. And even biblically, like when we read Job, David, I mean, especially the Psalms, man, like it's almost like David is bipolar. This dude one day is like, oh, the Lord is good. And the next day he's like, where's God? You know,
yeah.
Dude's like this. And that's how I felt. I felt abandoned. I felt betrayed. I felt like I wasn't a good minister because I was depressed until I joined a men's group. And for me, it was breakfast, bro, just like getting coffee with people. Breakfast, and I had a place to process and share my pain. And I would even take it so far to say community saved my life and my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I'd still be hooked on pornography. And I don't think I would get through depression like I did, because it was at least 6 months of like depression. I didn't want to hoop, didn't want to play my guitar.
Wow.
Loss of appetite. And bro, I eat like every hour. So if, like, if I got loss of appetite, bro, like, you know what I'm saying? So, but I will add this, like when we talk about community, it takes time to find your tribe.
Yeah.
It takes time, bro. Like you're not just gonna kick it off right away. And the truth of the matter is, a lot of people have given up on community because their pastor said, hey, go join a small group. They join a small group and then they get hurt. They don't have a good experience. And they say, you know, I'm done trying. I ain't going to go to church. And they don't give community another shot.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we have to realize God's people are messy. Number one, they're messy.
Yeah.
And in order for us to grow, like, it's going to take time to find our tribe, and it's going to take time to build relationships. And I get it, bro. Like, it's hard to go first. Like, when you're in that group,
uh-huh.
You've got stuff you're holding, you're like, man, I don't know if I'm ready to open. It's hard going first.
It is, huh?
Especially if you're the pastor, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and I was amazed. Like, I was with a lot of pastors in my group, and a lot of them battled porn too. A lot of them battled depression too. So I would take it so far, Darren, to say that man, community not only saved my life, but it saved my marriage because right. I had a place to struggle.
Yeah. And I remember as you were talking, it just took me back to that class that we actually had with Chap. When we had to talk about like real life issues, right? Like in a theological way. Yep. And how do you deal with that kind of stuff? Because so many times people just want to skirt over it. They don't want to address right. They don't want to address the realness. They don't want to address things that people actually struggle with. They just try to minimize it and then feel like, good job, everybody. Y'all came to church today. Check mark. Right. Y'all got to right. win. Y'all ain't got to worry about nothing. It's all good. Meanwhile, people are like, dude, people are like, they really struggling with some yeah. some real stuff.
Yeah. And Darren, I'll add to that. Like now when I preach, I never underestimate the pain in the room, bro, because there's always pain in the room.
Yeah.
There's always pain in the room. So like, even when I preach, I'm very careful because, and jokes are cool and stuff, you know, I'm still me and stuff, but at the right. same time, I realize that people are hurting and they need to hear the truth and they need to build community because for a lot of people, it's just church once a week and that's it.
That's it, huh?
That's and it ends there.
Wow. Man, this is like, I can't believe, man, there is a ton of people who are just hurting and they're looking for a place to actually connect with other people just to get that burden off their shoulder.
Yep.
But you said some key things just like when you went, one was you was doing stuff for self-affirmation instead of like really trying to like, what does this congregation need? And now now you're at that point. And then the other thing is like relationship. I mean, without that relationship, how can people actually connect? How can people actually learn to trust?
Right.
How can connect? And that's the same thing with what God wants, right? Is that relationship. If you ain't reading no passages of scripture, getting to know them, then you ain't going to have no relationship.
Right. That's
the only
right.
relationship they're going to have is through you on Sundays.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And I mean, at the heart of our faith, I mean, it's to love God and not love the ministry, love God.
Yeah.
And people, you know what I'm saying? And here's what I learned there. Like for me, man, transformation takes time. I'm learning that it's not fancy. Like Andy Mineo, he said, Christianity ain't complicated, but it's costly. Right?
Yeah.
It's true. Like I wake up every day. I'm a 4:30 a.m. guy. And like, I have a journal. I have my Bible. I have some bomb coffee. Hey, it's hard being a Christian if you ain't got good coffee. Come on, bro. Hey, but my point is like my quiet time and my disciplines, they're not fancy.
Yeah.
But over time, as I devote myself to the spiritual disciplines like meditation and then soaking in God's presence, reading his word, meeting with people even when I don't want to, going to church even when I don't feel like it. Over time,
yeah,
I see transformation. But people think like glory to glory just means, nah, bro. Yeah. No, it's like this.
Right.
Some days I do feel like I'm going backwards. I'm like, man. And then I get back up. I get back up. And sometimes, because I always say like our emotions are kind of like a check engine. Something will happen. Then I get angry and I'm like, okay, I need to take stock of like, hey, what is really going on in my heart? Like if I have unresolved offense, bitterness, like not too long ago, I held this offense for a very long time, you know, and I was having my quiet time with the Lord and man, God convicted me. Like you need to call this dude, apologize. Mm-hmm. And you need to pray for this dude's family. And I'm like, man, I don't want to bless this dude. You know what I'm saying? Like I ain't got it in me. Like my pride said no. And
yeah,
but God just kept dealing with me about this offense that I've been holding for a very long time. And even when I go to church, I'm trying to worship. I got my hands up and this dude's in the back of my head. I'm like, man, like just can't get it. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And I had to just break my pride, hit up the dude, apologize. And man, like a weight fell off of me. And even my worship changed.
Like, did it really?
even my worship changed because I'm free, and God's desire for us is to be free.
Right.
So all that to say, like, the disciplines that we have, man, they don't look sexy at all, but they're as we do them every single day, we will see transformation in our lives for sure.
Mm-hmm. So what is your vision, like, you know, just for like community and creating like a safe place for people to be able to express and just reveal mm-hmm. what's on their heart?
Yeah. So I got a couple of key guys that I meet with. But here's where I'll begin. My vision is to preach the gospel through word and through mm-hmm. music. So I'm still doing music in Nashville, man. It's challenging me. There's a lot of talent here.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm really encouraged to up my game, you know, in music and writing songs. And every opportunity I get, whether that's like playing Duber Cafe or we got Kimbrough's up the street, like whatever opportunity I get, man, I share my testimony, number one, of how God healed me from multiple sclerosis. And I don't know if I've ever shared that with you, but this mm-hmm. was when I was 18. I'm 32 now. Mm-hmm. So my vision has always been preaching the gospel through word and music. And even the work that I do right now at Caleb, you know, being a pastor there, I get to preach the gospel every day to callers from all over the nation, literally.
Yeah.
For callers who are feeling hopeless. And at the end of the day, man, I get the privilege to point them to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's always been my heart, you know, sharing the gospel. When I was a hospital chaplain, I had opportunities, even though it was interfaith. So there was different faith traditions that I worked.
Yeah.
In the context of like, there's a priest that I worked with, Muslim dude, like just interfaith. But I did have opportunities to share the gospel. Now at Caleb, where I work, and I got the green light to share the gospel. So I'm like,
hey, you sure do.
You know what I'm saying? So the vision's always been the same. The methods might change,
you know, uh-huh.
but the message is still the same. So whether I'm playing a guitar, and I don't need a mic to share the gospel, you know. Preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary. You know, my number one thing is I need to win at home first. You know, be all a right. good husband to my wife, my son. Homie's going to preschool next week, bro.
Wow. He growing up. He going to have his little guitar behind him.
Oh, no, he got three guitars already. So, man, just being faithful, like, in the home
mm-hmm.
first, my marriage, my ministry, and then, man, wherever God has me, my thing has always been to bloom where God has planted me.
Yeah.
That's my job, bro. Like, bloom where God has planted me. When I was serving at the Russian church, I finished my race there well.
Yeah.
When I was a chaplain, I did that. Now I'm here. I never thought I'd move to Tennessee. And I'll tell you this, Darren, it's been a hard, we're coming up on 2 years, bro. It's been such a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And there's a price to saying yes to God. There's such a price. Like,
there it is.
I can't tell you how many times I'm like, let's move back to Cali. You know, I got all my dudes there, fishing buddies, hooping buddies. Like,
yeah.
I know my coffee shops, like family's there, you know, and because I want comfort. And it's like, God's like, okay, you want to grow? I'm going to take you out of Cali,
uh-huh.
put you in Tennessee. And now I'm forced to grow here. I have more time to think, okay, what does God have for me?
Yeah.
And even when I wake up, bro, I ask God, I'm like, Lord, send somebody my way, because I'm looking for community still. I'm still building, and I have dudes that I met here.
Right.
But I still ask the Lord, who's going to be a part of my destiny?
Yeah.
Because there's people that we allow into our lives, and then there's people that God just ordains, bro. Like, mm-hmm. he's like, no, that person will be a part of your life.
Yeah, that's so true. So
there's people that, like, I let you in my life, you know, and you're an awesome dude, even though you can't shoot like me. but hey, I'm building community here, Dan. And it's been a challenge, bro. It's been a challenge. But
Bet.
God's blessed my wife and I with community here. And we're living like this with open hands saying, Lord, what's next? Instead of just going, you know, I'm comfortable in California. All my family's there. I got 15 nieces, nephews. Here, we ain't got nobody. So it's we're forced to lean into that.
You know? You said something earlier too, where you talked about, you mentioned first or being first. I can't remember exactly what it was. Doggett. But it just made me think about, Noah, how he is, you know, in his old age, and he was considered one of the righteous ones, him and his family. And so he was chosen to start constructing that ark.
Yeah.
That's right. And no matter what, I could just imagine, like, man, what this dude must have been feeling at that age, having to build an ark. Everybody else is like, what in the world is this cat doing?
Right. Yeah.
But he's still doing it. And because God didn't speak to them, he spoke to Noah. Noah knew in his heart what God wanted from him. Yeah. So he had to carry out that mission. So, man, your story right now is just making me think about Noah, right? God spoke to him specifically, dude, for a specific purpose.
Right. Yeah. And honestly, it's been, I'm finding out that being in God's will has joy, has suffering, joy, suffering. Like, man, there's no such thing as like a perfect decision. There really isn't. Even if we were to move back to Cali, there'd still be joys and suffering there too.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing, like, I didn't want God to say, yes, go. but he did.
He did.
You know, and I knew we had to obey. And obviously, my wife needed to get on board, which she did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really, really stretching me. It's been stretching me. Honestly, I don't even think my podcast would be released if I didn't move here. Even my wife said that.
Exactly, huh?
So maybe that's a big part of it, too. She said, now you got more time to see what God has for you.
That's because you'll be out there fishing while hunting.
Breaking ankles, bro.
And I'm pretty sure if y'all did move back, it probably wouldn't even, I don't even know if it'd be this thing. But at the same time, it's like God moves you out for a specific reason. Because you were comfortable in California, and now you're in that place of, it's more reliant on him. You gotta rely on him big time.
Right.
And God's like, come on, man, I got you, baby. It's almost like you're going to the wilderness. Come on, man, I got you.
And that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And I've always preached on living life with an open hand, not like this.
Yeah.
And I'm living it now, and it's hard. It's hard, bro.
It is, huh? Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yeah. So how's your wife, though? How is she adjusting?
So she's doing way better than me. So my wife, like, I'm the outgoing one. And I thought moving here, she was going to struggle. Nah, bro, it's the opposite. She's like, this is amazing. It's green up in here. She loves it, you know? And for me, I love it too. It's just there's parts that I still miss, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm... And like, for example, like last month I did a funeral. This next month I'm doing a wedding in Sacramento. And when I go every now and then, like I spoke this year at a conference. And I drive by and I'm like, it feels weird. Like that ain't home.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's still, yeah. I feel like the Lord's just reminding me, hey, Val, this is not your home. Like, you have to be open to my plans. I could take you out of Tennessee and move you to who knows where, but you have to stay open instead of just saying, Lord, I'm comfortable here and I'm not going to move.
Yeah.
So it's been a journey, bro. It's been a journey and I've been growing and I've had to learn to lean on my intimacy with the Lord every single day.
Yeah.
Every single day. Because without that, man, I'm grumpier. You know what I'm saying? Like, and honestly, like, if we really want vision for our lives, we need to develop a private prayer life. Otherwise, you ain't going to get vision, because a lot of our vision for our lives is birthed out of prayer, out of having a community, people that speak into your life.
Yeah.
And that's what's been getting us through. And we're coming up on 2 years. I'm amazed that I made it for 2 years, bro. You know, it's the grace of God. It's seriously the grace of God. And here's the thing. Even my wife said, she's like, you wouldn't grow like this in Cali.
Hey, thanks for joining me in this episode of Why Not You with Mr. Val. Hey, that's just part one. Part two's coming up next week. I hope you guys definitely enjoy this man, because he is speaking from the heart with complete transparency and a loving spirit, just to help others find that same place, which is acquiring freedom. And in the meantime, you all have a blessed week. And remember, we cannot become what we need if we remain where we are. God bless, and see y'all next week.